Here's a little clip of Ellen Mass leading the action at the Silver Maple Forest on October 14th. A little group of people had formed on Acorn Drive, and the plan was for some of them to go onto the property and, if necessary, be arrested.
I think that this morning, until 9 o'clock, or maybe a little bit afterwards, hey, Arthur, there he is, north, good to see you. A little bit after 9, I let Quentin decide when he thinks is a good time, or you guys decide as a group when is a good time, just for all of us to go onto the property, and then when we're asked to leave, to those of us who want to leave and be support systems and maybe come back at another date, we'll come back out. And the others of us who want to stay on the property will stay on the property. Where is Joanna?
I have a tape right here.
Joanna and Roseanne have tape, so we're going to really do something. We're just not going on and standing there. We're going to tape the pink tapes that they have around special trees that are supposed to be saved. So we're doing this to, we're not going to really confuse them, but we're going to symbolically confuse them by putting on the pink tapes. All of us will just go around to various trees to show all of them should be saved.
Ellen Mass, welcome to Truth and Justice Radio.
Well, it's very nice to be with you, Stan. Thank you for inviting me.
You serve as president of a certain organization, don't you? Would you describe what that organization is?
Well, we started 10 years ago, the Friends of the Alewife Reservation, to become a nonprofit. We started as a little committee, a wildlife committee, when green was becoming the thing. And So we just began to look out at the Alewife area and say, instead of just having these meetings, why don't we befriend an open space that needs some friends? It was trashed, and burnt cars were all over the place, and people were not as aware and interested in watersheds with rivers and streams. They wanted the pristine, of course, but so we began doing cleanups, and to date we've had about 120 cleanups out there. And have branched into education, and we have a summer ecology camp for 10 years now. We get the mayor's program, we get the kids out. We were the first environmental group that offered environmental training. They come out for 6 weeks in the summer. And we've had some very good luck, very good responses from young people. They learn water quality testing and identification of birds and trees, and they do field trips and field trips related to this. They went to the State House recently this last summer and talked to the legislators about a forest out there that's threatened. It's just been wonderful. I can't say enough about it.
So the Alewife Reservation constitutes what area of land?
Well, when you go out Route 2, going out towards Arlington from Cambridge, and just before Belmont, because they're two, Arlington and Belmont touch each other right there at Alewife. So we're really at the confluence of the two towns and the city, and we're right there at the northwest, the very tip of northwest Cambridge, and they know very few people that live around it. So it's had a hard time getting standing from people or value from people.
Now, the reservation actually includes a place where people can walk and so on. Is that part of the same Alewife Reservation?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Now they've got a very nice paved road and a lot of big Discovery Park buildings from the Bullfinch Company. You've got Forrester and Harvard Smithsonian there. But before, it was pretty wild, and many young people that lived around there in East Arlington and Cambridge used to play there all day at some of their fondest memories, the older generation. But now they just put a $150 million stormwater wetland there around all these new buildings going up on the floodplain. We're just there. It's mostly Department of Conservation Recreation land. But they've never really claimed it that well. I You know, it's land that is very high real estate value now. It when it first started as wetland and floodplain, it used to flood royally there, and it still floods. It was very cheap. So the smart speculators bought it up, and they've accrued the property to very, very high levels by buying it and selling it, parceling it up. And the city just looked the other way on that after Arthur D. Little, the big company out there, went bankrupt.
Okay, now I understand something is happening in the Silver Maple Forest section of that.
Yeah.
And that you've been trying to do something about it. Would you care to describe that?
Well, that's been the biggest heartbreak we've had so far. We spent 10 years giving it value, having it assessed by a professional wildlife assessor who does the Quabbin Reservoir, Middlesex Fells, these other places he teaches all over, and just tracking and identification and ecology, Dave Brown Wildlife Services. So Dave, we spent many years giving it value with educational tours, and we maintain a trail back there. We put up signs. We've seen deer kill from coyotes. We've got two types of fox and otter and mink. And you'd never think you had that in a city like Cambridge, but it was there. They come up from the Mystic all the way down the Alwife Brook Greenway into that area, which is half of Belmont and Cambridge, right on the border, into Little Pond and Perch Pond and Yates Pond. You never know. This watershed has some nice, nice attributes, but it was been neglected. It wouldn't have, I don't think it would have happened like that if we were on the other side of the city where you have more prosperity.
Okay, so the Silver Maple Forest, though, only occupies a relatively small part of the entire parcel that you're talking about. Is that correct?
Well, it's 15 acres, and it's a square habitat area, which means it's very special. It's nicely isolated by road and Route 2 and the pond and the river. So it really does, it's a nice, cozy place, and you don't have that many domestic animals there chasing them, so that's why you've gotten such rich mammal and bird species. It's nicely protected in there.
So,
there's a lot.
What's happening there that needs to be stopped, if at all possible?
Well, this is the tragedy of it all. The owner who had bought up all of the Arthur D. Little was in line to be the owner through the whatever transactions happened during the bankruptcy. He sold it all off to Bullfinch for very, very little money, parceled it out, sold it over time, and then he held on to that little blip of forest. And so his plan was to max that out profit-wise, and he did. He maxed it out, and he bought it for $1.2 million. And now it's assessed for $13 million, and when the Trust for Public Land asked him about it, he asked him to buy it from them, he acted like he never received the offer. So right now he's been able, through the court, Superior Court, DEP, the DEP hearings, we had 4 days of hearings with their lawyer and our lawyer. And we lost. We just kept losing and losing and losing. Our attorney tried to litigate on the basis of habitat protection of the upper floodplain. And they said it didn't have any evidence of upper floodplain habitat, but we had plenty of evidence. We even had a book written about it. They wouldn't use it. There was a lot of irregularities to the point where, you know, your health gets affected. You get so upset that they're not being straight about it, or their process is so flawed. This particular judge that we had, maybe some of the others are much better, I hope so, but this one was very, very poor, and we only had so much. We were raising money from the neighbors around Little Pond. And so we lost. We lost that, and as soon as we lost, then the Zoning Board of Belmont gave them their tree cutting permit and gave them gave them all their permits. They slowly, they even got a US EPA permit to dewater.
Isn't that amazing? That it's so easy for the bad guys to get their permits. Well, is your organization giving up?
No, ours isn't. You know, we've created another larger organization, an alliance at Lesley University, where the two professors are heavily involved because their students use it for field work. So they've come to the rescue in terms of having other group representatives there. And so they have done that.
Now, I understand that there was recently some nonviolent civil disobedience there by a small group, and that you actually spent some time in jail.
Yes, I did. I was one of the 13 that got arrested over three different periods. But we started out as soon as we heard that they had gotten the last of their permits. They did not get a building permit yet, as far as we know from Belmont. If they gave it, it was in secret, and they may have given it and just told us they hadn't. But the people in Belmont that are connected with the decision makers did not have not told them that the building permit was given. And they were supposed to have that in order to cut the trees. But legally, they can cut the trees. So now when we heard that, we got involved with, we had three or four vigils and asked every group to come into a vigil. And then we started to have rallies early in the morning, 7 to 9 before the traffic comes. And then, so we built up to a fairly large rallies. And that's when, because they were cutting. And so the Belmont people filed an injunction to stop it. And the judge did not rule on that Friday. So they came in on Saturday, and they cut most of the trees down.
So they used that little window of time to do what you were trying to stop them from doing.
Yeah, I had a sense that they were unscrupulous, and that's what happened.
But you were found guilty and then released.
Yes.
I see.
We were released on pretrial probation for 6 months. And our punishment was that we cannot go back in there, but we can be on the public road. We can go back to protest. The judge was very thoughtful and said, you know, they have their First Amendment rights to go back and protest and stand on the public lands. He didn't say it in those words. He just, you know, he was clear that he did not say to go beyond, that you cannot go to the general area.
So you personally are not planning on going back in?
No, I can't go in. I can't get rearrested, and none of the other people are going to do that either. If anybody wants to do anything, they have to do it on their own cognizance and conscience.
So what are the future plans?
The future plans is there'll be another lawsuit, probably, based on some of the irregularities, infractions of what they're doing, how they're doing it, the impairment of the water body nearby, their plans. There are three or four groups, and some of those groups will have to come to the forefront and take leadership in terms of more activity. There's just a lot of discussion that really needs to go on, and trying to, the owner was offered two major checks on this through the Trust for Public Land, a national organization that actually helps people negotiate with the developer. And they offered him a nice fat check twice, and they acted like they never received it. This is a very prominent trust. We'll keep that up. We'll keep, my idea is to buy it for the city and the two towns as a green burial ground. People do no longer want the traditional burial of having to buy an expensive casket to get into, or to be put into. They don't want that. What they want is something simple and reverent and something they love, like a tree or a rock or a stone. And this will also bring revenue for people of modest means. They don't have to go bankrupt over a casket or burial costs, and they can have. So this is a need. of every municipality, they're running out of space, like in Cambridge, and they need a beautiful conservation land that people can use for their loved ones and also use it for recreation. The animals can come back.
If any of our listeners would like to help, whom should they contact?
Well, they can contact our organization. We have on our website a lot of donor options, but at present, the money is for the kind of thing I just mentioned, which would be what else is going on that's wrong that needs to be rectified, and that is you don't dump stormwater in impaired waters, you don't plan your stormwater to go into wetlands as they are doing, mm-hmm. you don't dig up in wetlands. So these basic lawsuits that will keep it in the air until people come up with a solution and offer a suitable fee where something can be done with this wonderful land that buffers Belmont, Arlington, and Cambridge. And the reason a lot of people move to the suburbs is so they don't want to be in the city. So it provides a very good meeting ground, as Frederick Law Olmsted dreamed of, you know, where you get all kinds of people coming together in one spot. And we do have those three municipalities coming together at that place.
I'm going to pursue this question. If people want to help, but in some other way besides money, who do they contact?
Well, we would love to hear from people who want to come out and help us maintain a presence to stand for the trees, or people who can write. We don't really have the best press outreach. I'm just tickled to death that you're doing the interview. But so they can just call our business office. We have an office and a telephone number, and we have a website, and we have info@friendsofalewifereservation.org.
And the website is friendsofalewifereservation.org?
Yes.
Okay. And what's the phone number?
617-415-1884.
Okay. Do you want to make a closing statement?
Well, after 400,000 okay. people came back from Wall Street, flood Wall Street, we said, come back to your New England floodplain forest. It makes perfectly good sense to stand up for something local after you've made a world point about climate change.
Yeah.
This is where we're 5 feet above sea level out there, and it's a very important sponge. As we get more flooding, it's vital. It's not just important anymore.
Oh, right? Yeah, 5 feet above sea level.
Meanwhile,
the sea is going to be going up by much more than 5 feet in the next 50 to 100 years.
And that's what the Army Corps of Engineers has all of the Alewife area underwater by 2050. They've done some good maps out there.
Thank you very much, Ellen Mass, and it's a great honor to be able to interview you.
Thank you very much.